live from the WCPT 820 studios in Chicago, Illinois. This is the Ben Jarofsky Show. It's the long-awaited return of David Glowatz, a.k.a. Mr. Bike. And now your host, Chicago Reader columnist, Ben Jarofsky.
Yes, indeed. Dave Glowatz in the studio with me, Mr. Bike, a.k.a. Mr. Bike. Independent journalist Dave Glowatz reports on local government at shigov.com. That's C-H-I-G-O-V as in victory, .com. He's also Mr. Bike, a bicycling instructor and author of the best-selling paperback, Urban Bikers Tricks and Tips. What you got for me?
Well, I guess the crack team over at the Erica Herald campaign has done some research because they have released a brand new ad. The ad is titled Reality.
When I was in high school, Me Too wasn't a slogan. It was my reality. I overcame bullying and sexual harassment with my parents' support. But too many women and children suffer alone, unseen or ignored by those in power. I'm Erica Herold. I won't rest until we shut down every human sex trafficking ring in Illinois, put every child predator behind bars, and make sure every victim of sexual harassment and assault knows the Attorney General has their back.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, that's chutzpah for the Republican Party to be championing the rights of women in sexual assault cases. You have to have a lot of gall and shamelessness to be a Republican politician in this day and age. And I think that campaign commercial proves it.
And how about the music in that commercial? Like that piano, ding, ding, ding. I thought I was listening to a Hitchcock movie at the beginning of it. It sounded kind of menacing.
Yeah, that's the music. You're right. They were menacing me. Ding, ding,
and
ding,
then,
ding.
I don't know if you noticed, but in the background, it was shoo, shoo.
No, what was the shoo?
Yeah, it was shoo. Like, it's just like...
what was that all about?
I don't know. It's very subliminal almost.
Yeah.
An ear like an eagle, Mr. Bike.
Fly like an eagle. That's fly like an eagle.
Fly like an eagle and hear like an eagle. So that's the latest commercial. All right, good job, Dave Glowatz is my guest. Independent journalist Dave Glowatz reports on local government at shigov.com. He's also Mr. Bike, a bicycling instructor and author of the best-selling paperback, Urban Bikers Tricks and Tips. Before I get into bicycling issues with you, before I get into TIFF issues...
Well, before you get into any of that, do you have that bell?
Oh, yeah, man!
they don't let me in anymore without the bell.
No, where's the bell? Yeah. All right. You were a guest last night at the First Tuesday show at the Hideout. McDumkey and I were interviewing Tony Preckwinkle. So what was your thoughts about Tony's candidacy? She's now mayoral candidacy and how she presented herself last night.
Well, the most entertaining part of that for me was when you asked her three times why she chose now to run for mayor when she was not going to run for mayor before Mayor Emanuel announced that he wasn't going to run. And she avoided the question three times in what Mick later called a filibuster answer each time. She was doing essentially campaign speechifying. Yeah. And she's as good at that as Pat Quinn, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had Pat Quinn on. Well, he wasn't running for anything, but he was running. Well, he was running his term limit referendum.
Oh,
stop that. Stop that, young man. Anyway, he was running his term limit campaign again. So Tony did do a little filibustering on that question, which I asked three times, not one, not twice, but three times. I thought after that she settled in and she was pretty good in terms of answering or responding to the questions. But that first was an amazing display of ducking and dodging, weaving. And
graceful, too, and practiced.
You can find it, folks. It's on our Facebook page if you want to watch it yourself. And then, of course, you can watch the rest of the interview. I was encouraged as a progressive on her response to issues in criminal justice matters, particularly things like spending more money on health care, spending more money on mental health clinics, and spending more money on public education. So I was encouraged on that. I'm not so encouraged by some of her responses on Amazon deal and TIFFs. We'll get into the TIFF program in Chicago.
Pro Amazon, which I didn't know.
Yeah, well, pretty much every elected official in the state of Illinois is pro-Amazon.
You know, she did get caught out when one of you asked her what the proposal from the county was and what she or the county administration knew about the rest of the state's proposal.
That was my question. Yeah.
She said something to the effect that, well, her staff might know, but she doesn't.
Yeah, no, I was like, Rob didn't even tell you. He doesn't tell anyone. They've kept that one very much a secret. That's a disgrace that Rahm and Rauner have apparently offered billions of dollars to Jeff Bezos and Amazon to come to Chicago. They've told him, of course, how much they've offered, but they have not told us. And then Tony said last night she thinks they probably have offered more money than they've even told other politicians in the state. So in other words, we have no idea what they've offered, and we won't know until we're told to pay the bill.
Yeah, that $2.25 billion figure was leaked? Because that's the one I and others have been using ever since they made the bid.
We don't know where it came from. I know it showed up in the Tribune at some point, and we've been using it ever since. I think it's probably higher than $2.25 billion if you add in all the different subsidies.
It's the floor.
Yeah, that's the floor, yeah. Good Lord, where the ceiling is. The ceiling is above the floor. Anyway, bicycling news. What you got from you in terms of updates that people should know about bicycling? Trends in the city of Chicago and a suburban area as well.
Well, I know it doesn't feel like it, but it is autumn. And often in autumn, I find myself talking to folks about how to get ready for cold weather bicycling. Because if people such as yourself or Dennis are out on a regular basis in summer, as soon as the weather starts hitting around 50 degrees, you start thinking, oh, my hands are getting cold and stuff like that. And I'm happy to talk about those kinds of things if your listeners have questions about those. But something else caught my attention recently that prompts me to go at a higher level, at a more balcony view, if you will. And it has to do with encouraging people who don't bicycle every day, like you and me and Dennis. People who, for one reason or another, are uncomfortable with bicycling. And I've talked with you about this before, and I think you could probably guess the main reason that I cite for people being uncomfortable with biking in city streets, and that would be
cars?
Yes.
I got the right answer.
Yeah, I think the average person is intimidated, rightfully so, by the number of motor vehicles on the street and the degree of aggressiveness of motorists. And I don't blame motorists for the need to get from place to place. Even though Chicago has a highly lauded transit system, I think that a lot of people don't have any other options to get from place to place other than cars. So that's why I was really interested to see a transportation platform that was unveiled last month by three transportation planners. Their names are Stephen Vance, Linda Lopez, and Yona Freemark. And they developed a transportation platform that they're challenging all the candidates in the 2019 mayoral race to adopt. And they're calling it Move Chicago. Listeners, if you want to find the content of that platform, I've linked to it at the Mr. Bike Facebook page, which is facebook.com/bikertricks. As I say, it caught my attention because I'm really interested in ways to get cars off the street so more bikes can be on the street. And this platform has a number of suggestions, and I'd like to talk about several of them that have to do with transit.
All right. You know what? This is probably going to be an issue to more than a few people in the upcoming election. I hope public transportation is high on the list. And what are some of the platforms on this?
What is to improve bus service? And they're talking about growing the number of bus lines and the frequency of bus lines. And when we think about growing bus lines, the things that we see in the news are the exact opposite, like the number 11 bus on Lincoln Avenue, which was reinstated and then recut. There's the 31st Street bus, which was cut, reinstated, threatened to be cut again, and is hanging on, even though it doesn't meet the ridership goals of CTA. So this platform, Move Chicago, says throw all that out and let's instead focus on a goal of 100% of Chicagoans in neighborhoods with average incomes below the city average. Give them a maximum 10-minute walk to all-day frequent transit. So obviously these kinds of things have a cost. And there are many ideas for increasing revenue for the city of Chicago. And I'm sure you've had many guests who talk about that kind of thing. And we could talk about that.
Well, actually, I don't have many guests that come up with revenue. I'm not being facetious here. Who come up with revenue ideas. You know, Troy LaRabier says tax the rich. You know, he's one mayoral candidate who says tax the rich. But other than that very general ideology, I can't think of many specific revenue raising plans that mayoral candidates have come up with.
Well, there's the sort of seminal piece by the City Council Progressive Caucus that I believe came out in 2016 where they listed a whole bunch of revenue ideas. There are things in there like a stormwater tax for businesses with real big roofs and, you know, contribute a lot to stormwater. There's things like a increased property transfer fee for very large buildings. That could be a huge revenue source. There are things like related to transportation in particular. This was a Chicago Inspector General recommendation to have a entrance and exit fee for motor vehicles into and out of the central business district.
That one.
Which is done in other cities.
Yeah, but didn't they try to do that? They floated that in New York. I think I sent you an article about the efforts in New York to do that.
And it's done in London.
Yeah.
So there are, you know, there are revenue options.
But none of them, by the way, none of these ideas. Yes, you're absolutely correct. The Independent Caucus and the City Council came up with some of these ideas, but I have not heard any of the candidates themselves for mayor of the city of Chicago embrace any of these specific ideas other than Troy, as I said, Troy LaRabier.
Well, people, I think candidates are shy about taking stands on things that cost money.
When we heard Toni Preckwinkle last night, when we asked her about raising revenue, said, well, first thing I want to look at is how we can economize, how we can be more efficient. So that's the first thing most mainstream candidates talk about, cutting the budget.
And she did talk about reforming tax increment finance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, which we'll get into that. So go back to Move Chicago's plans.
I talked about improving bus service. There's another one that is arguably somewhat simpler, and that's integrating CTA and Metra rail service. So some of this is infrastructure, and some of it's just process. You could simplify transfers. Like if you just ran down Milwaukee Avenue over here and go to the Jefferson Park Transit Center, you have to physically come off the L, that you've got to walk down a corridor, go to a stairway that goes to another set of trains, and you have to use a different payment system if you don't have a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Venture is useful for you on Metra and CTA if you have a smartphone. So that leaves out people of lower income. So that's a process sort of thing. But you could do things where rail stations, CTA and Metra rail stations are close by, like at 35th Street. There is no linkage between them. You got to get out, cross over the Dan Ryan, you know, cross another street and go to the Metra station. So some of that might involve infrastructure to make it easier. Some of the CTA Metra integration talks about the unified fare card. I just talked about, you know, Ventra is not useful for a lot of people on Metra. And increased frequency of Metra train stops in the city of Chicago. Metra trains don't come as quickly as the CTA trains and the CTA buses.
And there's far fewer stops.
Yeah. So those are some of the things under that integrating CTA and Metra rubric.
And what about bicycling platforms? Anything more bike lane?
There is one plank on the platform that talks about improving access to bicycling around, you know, the usual mix of stuff like protected bike lanes. But that's not as interesting to me as the transit stuff, because I think that one could, as I've said before, one could make all sorts of accommodations around bike lanes. But if people are afraid to get out there, they're not going to use it. And you know what, Ben? At some point, the bike lane ends.
Yes.
And you're dumped out into a place that's not protected.
Yeah.
It has to happen. So we need to get cars off the street, I think, to encourage more people to bicycle.
I agree. And I could tell you from a guy who takes Elston Avenue, good Lord, sometimes it's so scary riding a bike in Elston. And I was thinking of you, and I was thinking of Troy LaRavier, because they did this big, huge project on Elston Avenue, and they made it nice and surfaced. You know, they got to fix your streets. But unavoidably, you're, as a bicyclist, you're diverted to the sidewalk. And immediately you go, uh-oh, I am now breaking the law. I'm riding on the sidewalk.
Was that the design or a construction accommodation?
I wouldn't say it was designed, because that implies that it was intended that way. But the net effect of the construction plan is that you had no choice but to go on the sidewalk. So I guess you could have I could have walked my bike on the sidewalk. But I was put to the sidewalk because there was nowhere to ride a bike on the Elston Avenue. I think that happens all the time in the city of Chicago. Mm. So it's like a two-part thing, Dave, where they say we're bike-friendly, and then the reality is something far different. Dave Glowatz is my guest, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Ben Jarofsky Show. Benny J., take it away.
All right, Dave Glowatz, Mr. Bike, is in the studio with me. Independent journalist Dave Glowatz reports on local government at shygov.com. Check them out there. We got a bunch of people lined up to talk about all sorts of things.
We're asking all of you, on the Facebook page. What are you hoping to see or hear from the candidates? Or what are you hoping to not see or hear from the candidates? Let's read a few more of your comments here. Let's read Torres's comment. And Ben, unfortunately, this is yet to be solved by Mr. Pritzker. Torres writes, or types, or whatever, JB, you say you support labor. Can you step in on the Hyatt striking workers that ask for health care?
100% with you. 100%.
Right, you know what I don't understand, and I've never seen it reported around this hotel workers' strike? It's always reported that each hotel or hotel chain bargains separately with Unite Here One, yeah, the hotel workers' union. But I never saw any reporting about how that works. Is there a separate bargaining unit team for each hotel, or is there one team and they just go from hotel management to hotel management?
That is an excellent question. I do not know the answer to that question. There's separate bargaining units for each hotel, but I don't know for certain. But go ahead. What was your thought?
There was an interview with a hotel worker. It was just one hotel, not a chain. And he said, oh, yeah, we just decided to walk out after we saw everybody else out there. So that says to me that they weren't even consulting with a bargaining unit. Yeah. They just up and left.
Yeah.
So it's very curious.
Yeah, it's very curious that the powers that be in the city have not just forced a settlement here. It's, like I said, it's pretty embarrassing that the Chicago makes such a big deal about our tourist trade would allow this strike to go on for so long. All right, D, let's get some callers in here.
Absolutely here. Oh, and now shout out to Kevin, or maybe a shout out. I don't know. You know this guy, Kevin, Packers fan, Kevin.
Oh, Kevin. Oh, I'm not the only one who knows him.
Yeah, well, Kevin says, does Mr. Bike?
Mr. Bike knows him.
Oh, okay, well, this is for you, Mr. Bike. Kevin says, does Mr. Bike still have a Frisbee jammed in his front spokes?
The answer is no. I had to get a new wheel, and the Frisbee didn't make it back.
Ask Kevin Lamb, is he still crying because his widow Packers lost the other day?
I'm sure we'll get that answer in moments on the Ben Jarofsky Show Facebook page. All right, let's go to our first caller. He's been waiting the longest. It's Vern.
What's going on, Vern? You're on the air.
Hey, Ben. I just wanted to call to shamelessly promote the Calvaria Progressive Cannabash.
Okay.
We're doing it at the House Cafe on the 15th of October. We're having bands playing, and we're having candidates come and talk about cannabis. And the main thing is we're going to be promoting the legalization of cannabis.
All right, beautiful. A lot of people all over the state, Dave, want marijuana legalized. Bruce Rauner is insisting under his reign, marijuana will not be legalized. How long do you think the state of Illinois can go without legalizing marijuana?
I'm curious about the polling on this with respect to where state reps and state senators feel their constituencies are. We both know that there is a significant effort in the General Assembly to move bills forward around it, but the shepherds of those bills who are Kelly Cassidy and
Heather Staines
are taking a very gradual, you know, let's take this easy, let's try to get as many people on board as possible approach.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to be that deliberate approach, slow and steady, it'll win the race eventually. But again, I haven't seen any surveys about what the Illinois population feels about this.
Well, we've had Kelly Cassidy on the show many, many times. One of the things she talks about is legalization of marijuana. She says, my memory is correct, that the polls show that most people in the state favor the legalization. But that
most being 55% or 80?
Well, I don't 90. Know if it's 80, but my memory is that it's well over 50. But that the issue is easy to
demonize.
Thank you. Excellent word. Demonize is the word. The strategy, obviously, the political strategy that the Democrats are following is waiting until we have a new governor so that they won't have to face the veto and they won't have to face the counterattacks from Rauner. Listen, it's about the only thing in the world that Kelly Cass and I don't agree on. But what do I know? I'm always wanting our reps to be a little more aggressive.
It seems
this.
Like a good strategy, unless the current Democratic candidate is indicted.
Wait, you mean the current? Not for legal, not for marijuana.
No, for fraud.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. All right, let's get another caller in here.
Let's go to Mike, the city worker.
What's going on, Mike, the city worker?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Please don't call Bruce Rauner a right winger, because with the exception of unions, he is a left winger. He's for government paying for abortions. He's for sanctuary city. He's for gay marriage. He's for everything left-wing, except he hates unions.
Wait, hold it. I mean, he's very much a right-winger when it comes to taxation. He's for regressive forms of taxation. He's very much a right-winger. Forget unions
just
when
like
it comes
to... Just like Daley and Rahm.
Well, but the point is...
Ben, he's actually closer to you than he is to Jeannie Ives.
No. The overwhelming focus of his time as governor of the state of Illinois is to implement a very right-wing economic agenda, which means limiting the amount of money that working people make, whether they're in a union or not in a union, and destroying unions in the state of Illinois. And we just got evidence of that. The General Assembly, Dave, I cannot get over this. The General Assembly passed a 48-cent an hour raise for home care workers, and Rauner is just refusing to implement it. That's just like utter resistance that's forced the healthcare workers to go to work. So do you agree with me or do you agree with Mike that he's a right wing?
I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. I'm thinking about Rauner's position against over-reliance on property taxes, which is, you know, a somewhat progressive position because we do, as a state, force
absolutely
local governments to rely on property taxes.
I would rewrite what you just said. He wouldn't phrase it as an over-reliance on property taxes. He has no problem with paying his property taxes to Winnetka, knowing that it supports the top-flight public schools. What he wants to use is the property taxes issue to force people to turn against government so they don't fund government. He wants to use it as an issue to get people to turn against government.
I knew it was a weak argument.
Yeah,
I just said, that's all I have, man.
He tried. Dave Glowitz, any closing thoughts before I let you out that door?
If listeners want to find the content of the Move Chicago transportation platform challenging mayoral candidates to adopt, they can go to Mr. Bike's Facebook page, which is facebook.com/BikerTricks. That's BikerTricks.
All right. Very good. Thank you very much, Dave Glowatz. Take care.